earlier this year, Travis and I drove to Fayetteville. You can be seated. I realize we have kids in here. Just heads up, I have four, and so they did not bother me at all. I don't mind if one of them makes noise or something. It was just not that type of church, so it's going to be good. But we went to Fayetteville, and we'd had a lot of different conversations with people that were just like, hey, what is there for us up here? And we thought, we're just going to go up and do a worship night and have some barbecue and just get into prayer and worship with a group of people. We did that as we were finishing up, just a really fun, awesome time. This young Hispanic guy walked in, I think probably 20 years old, 20, 21, 22, something like that. And no one knew who he was, or like I said something to him because we were about to wrap up. He was strumming the acoustic like that. And this kid walks in and he's like, he doesn't speak English, very little English. And he's kind of dirty because he's been working. And I'm like, how did you get here? And I could tell he was emotional. And he basically said, something led me here. And he says, he's just saying, help. I need help. I need prayer. I'm dirty. I need help. And unknowingly, there's a girl sitting right beside me that I had just met that night that is fluent in Spanish. And there's probably only 12, 15 people in the room, you know. And she starts talking to this guy. And he had gotten off work. And he drove 45 minutes in the opposite direction from his home, crying, asking God to make him clean. Because he said the sin in his life was killing him. He said, I'm dying, and I need God to make me clean. Please help me. Please pray for me. I need help. And this is the girl is telling me all of this through the translator, and I'm just like, we're just going to start praying. When you're praying in a moment like that, heaven is touching earth for this one person. And he laid on my lap and he just began to weep and began to cry out to God in a way that was like, you don't want to touch that, right? It's like holy, you know? And I watched God begin to cleanse him. I watched freedom begin to come. It wasn't just, hey, you know, let's pat you on the back. No, it was total transformation right in front of me. And realizing that the Holy Spirit had led him there and somehow arranged someone there to speak the language, and how he even found us at dark in this, on the outskirts of town, that's incredible. That's incredible. And Jesus has been doing it like that since the beginning. All the scholars, all the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones that study prophecies, all of the things, couldn't recognize him. But a bunch of guys out watching sheep could something about this king that's coming. They could find him. They could find him when it was the most obscure of places. This isn't anything that I prepared. This is totally off the cuff right now. But if that little baby that later is hanging on a cross And the same Mary that gave birth to him is at the foot of the cross. Picture that. All the disciples have left except John. She's in the upper room afterwards. The birth of the church. But all of that was to get to that young Hispanic boy that there's a language barrier, but yet there isn't. And he began to cry out in the spirit. He began to worship. And I can remember Travis and I and others for weeks after that saying we can still hear his worship in our minds, in our hearts, way after the fact. Because it was shaking you, that life, it was life coming to a young man. And then I met another Hispanic guy this week. And he said, I've never once been to a church. I see all these churches around here. I said, I've never been even once. I wouldn't even begin to know what you guys do, what goes on there. And I said, well, have you ever experienced God? No. Are you Jehovah's Witness? I said, no, but I've witnessed Jehovah. Well, some people, so is it not all the same? So not all the same thing? Everybody's reading the same book, trying to find God. He's like, I see things happen in science. I said, no, it's not all the same book. It's a man. And I would say truth is a person, and we're supposed to have a relationship with him. I said, but it's not. I'm not here to tell you what to believe, but I'm here to invite you into an experience that you can experience God. You can experience, well, I believe there's a God. I said, good. He hears you, sees you, and knows you. I said, so you haven't had this experience, you haven't experienced God, the reality of God in your life, no? Have you experienced evil? Yes. He goes and describes the evil that he's seen, even to a degree that he probably wouldn't tell most people with his family and all kinds of, you know, black magic, all that kind of stuff. So, and he says, I saw this. I know that it's real. I said, it is real. There's also the other side of that. There's the light of God coming and penetrating the heart of man, and it's very real. And it leads to life instead of death. And that story was preceded by another story that I won't get into. But he gave his life for moments like that, and we walk by people every day and we don't care. Or maybe it's not that we don't care, it's just we care more about what they might think than possibly witnessing life coming to them for the first time. And all it is like just understanding that you're his body in the earth right now, and you're meant to overflow everywhere you go. I know this is a Friday night, so I think it's felt like it's safe to say this, but being a pastor, you have this understanding there are people that are called CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. And I grew up in a time where we would like expend all of this energy. This might be the one time they come to church. And expend all this energy towards a service. When I'm thinking like the best thing we could actually do is lay our lives down so that they could witness Christ in us, the hope of glory, not just a service or something that we use to trick people into coming and doing all the different things that we want them to do, you know. But last week I began to read from Ephesians chapter 3, and it basically says that there's a secret that's been kept hidden from the beginning, and it's being put on display now because all of the angelic order and the hosts of heaven are literally leaning in to witness the Christ in the church, witness Jesus in the church today. And as much as he was born into the earth, there's a new birth of him in you, a new creation in you that the world is waiting to witness. The scripture says all creation groans and waits for the manifestation or the coming about or the emerging or the visibility of the sons and daughters of God. And what I'm going to be diving into the beginning of this year is that started as I begin to read Ephesians and going like, whoa, this is way bigger than we've seen. This is like, we're not even there yet. We're not understanding ourselves as this because we still think we're totally depraved, worthless, unrighteous, sinful. You don't get to carry any of that into heaven. There's not some process when you die and you're hanging between heaven and earth. There's not some process where all of a sudden then you're going to be made clean. No, you're either clean or unclean now. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous now. Fully righteous or completely unrighteous right now. And it all depends on what you do with Jesus. Not what church you attend, not how often you attend, not how much you read your Bible, or what prayers you can pray when it's time to bless the meal. But it's, will you enter into a personal death so that you can enter into his life? Because that's how he's being born in the earth today, through you. And Psalm 139 says he has a book written about us. Every detail, every story, everything that's written in that book, we get to choose whether or not we're going to live in that book. A lot of times we're living in our book and worshiping all this other stuff ahead of him. And we want to keep our traditions and we want to keep our comfort. And stuff starts creeping in on that. Well, I just feel. Lay it down. Jesus laid down his rights. He laid down his deity. He emptied himself completely and gave us the example. And he did what he did as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he said, the same thing that I did, you're going to do. And he says, it's actually to your advantage that I leave, because the Holy Spirit's going to be sent back. And the church is like, we're in this state of, I feel like we're just right on the verge of starting to get this and starting to understand this, and the religion and all that stuff kind of melting off of us in his presence, and we're getting done with the gossip and the competition and the moving around, chasing a new vision because we won't let anything get developed in our heart. We're really, I think we're coming to an end in a lot of ways, and there's been a big revealing of what can be shaken got shook, right? And now there's something pure and authentic being built in the church. And I'm just saying, step into it, because we've yet to see, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for his people. We've yet to even see this. And there's a generation that you just saw on stage today that are waiting to witness forth Christ in us, waiting to see him in all of his splendor, all of his glory. And that's the mystery, that he would choose to do that in us, that he would treat us as his bride, and then we would come into this holy state of communion that was the same thing that they had in the garden. And if you settle for anything less than that, then I feel, you know, like, shake that off and begin to ask the question, God, what do you really desire? Why did you really come? Was it just so we could sit in church and pretend like we're enthused? Because a lot of what we call church is boring, but his book over your life is nothing but boring. I'm going to read something, and then I think if I can read this, I might be able to end. But if I don't end, Lindsay, say, hey, stop. This book is pretty awesome. All those prophecies that we read in Scripture about the coming Messiah, you know, there's also prophecies about the church. There's prophecies about you. There's prophecies about your life. There's prophecies about his intention for you, which is the whole reason why he came. That was the great plan, to get you back. Not just to save you from hell, but to save you for something. Not to save you just from something, but to save you for something. And I think the enemy tricked us into sitting around and waiting on the rapture and pretending like nothing that Jesus asked us to do can actually get done, because we're not worth anything. And you're worth everything. Heaven gave everything it had to get you. Isaiah 54. To read a little bit of this, and then we'll go into the New Testament. Any of this that something starts stirring in you, because the entirety of the Bible is spiritually discerned, meaning something takes place by the Spirit of God that is still in the earth today, by the way. Something takes place that hits your heart, that brings that truth into a place of alignment on the inside of you that can then bring transformation. It's not just like, well, I believe the Bible. Yeah, I know it's true. No, it becomes transformative. It becomes incarnational on the inside of us, and that's where the power, that's how it becomes powerful. I want to read it all, but I'm just going to read this part. Okay. Verse 11, you unhappy one, storm-tossed in trouble. I'm ready to rebuild you with precious stones, and your intimacy with me will be built on a foundation of sapphires. I will make your towers of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious, delightful stones. All your children will be taught by Yahweh, and great will be their peace and prosperity. Remember that in the message of Christmas? Like, good news, peace on earth. Was it tidings of great joy? Great will be their peace and prosperity. You will be established in righteousness. Oppression be far from you. Fear be far from you. Yes, terror will not come near you, nor will you be afraid. If anyone dares to stir up strife against you, it is not from me. Those who challenge you will go down in defeat. See, I'm the one who created the craftsman, who fans the coals into a fire and forges a weapon fit for its purpose. And I am the one who created the destroyer to destroy. But I promise you, no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed, and you will refute every accusing word spoken against you. This promise is the inheritance of Yahweh's servants, and their vindication is from me, says Yahweh. Now I'm going to jump into Ephesians. I'm going to read. We stopped in Ephesians 3 last week. I'm just going to continue on in Ephesians 4. I can't even begin to dive into all of this. Don't have time tonight, and don't even have time in one single service. But we're in the coming months. This is what we're going to be in. We're going to be in Ephesians. We're going to be in Galatians. We're going to be in Colossians. We're going to be back in Genesis. It's going to get rich. If you don't feel like you can comprehend it, I believe you can, because the Bible says you've been given the mind of Christ. You have a capacity to receive from him. You may not intellectually discern every single thing that's being taught or spoken, especially when I try to cram it in, you know, to an hour time frame and I read way too much. But your spirit is eternal, and your spirit can receive the words of life if he's delivering them to you. and bringing that instruction to you, and it will bring you into a place of fruitfulness. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 5. Y'all still with me? Y'all like already to the dinner, Christmas stuff, or whatever is next. Just hang with me just a little bit longer. The Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And He is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. And He has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. This is why He says, He ascends into the heavenly heights, taking His many captured ones with Him, leading them in triumphal procession, and gifts were given to men. This is also talked about in Colossians, of Him openly triumphing over the enemy, bringing defeat, disarming every principality, power, and ruler of darkness that a lot of people still are wrestling with. And He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. He said He's disarmed them. He said He's openly triumphed over them. And He said He'll put you in a place, in Galatians it says, where the enemy can't even touch you. So that's the security that we're supposed to walk in, not blaming everything on, oh, it's an attack. Oh, the devil's after me. Oh, I got to. You don't have to do anything except rest in who He says you are. And if the enemy can keep you from knowing that, you're already defeated before you ever do anything. This is all based on you understanding who you are in Him. It says that He gave gifts unto men. But the way it actually translates is He gave gifts as men. And He goes into apostle. He says, He gave gifts were given to men. Having first descended into hell, He has ascended triumphantly into the heights of heaven to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. It says He began it. When will it be completed? It says in Acts, He waits at the right hand of the Father until the restoration of all things has taken place. That means you and I have a part to play in that. Well, I didn't know. I thought, no, it's all in Scripture. We have a part, but we have to know who we are. We have to know what He's done. This is good preaching. Oh, man. All right. He's appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists, which an evangelist is really it's a publisher. It's a writer. It's a publisher. It's one who passionately declares that which has been made available in places where it's not yet been heard. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they're calling all those people are described as gifts to the church. And it says that their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up Christ's body. Think literally Jesus on earth. As they do this, they will build up Christ's body. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. So those gifts are bringing us into a place of knowing, okay? And finally, we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ. And most of you are thinking, and probably were even taught, that'll happen when I get to heaven. Again, there's not some thing that's going to happen through your death. It already happened through His death. It's not you hanging between heaven and earth all of a sudden being made righteous. It's Him who is righteous hanging between heaven and earth, delivering us into His righteousness. Some of you need to open this present that I'm delivering to you right now. You need to open this gift. You need to quit staring at it from a distance and open this gift. The gift is open presence. The heavens open over Jesus. The Holy Spirit descends. It's the voice of the Father says, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him." And he wants to do the same thing with you. And you thought, "How could I ever please him?" When he looks at you, when you're in Christ, when he looks at you, he looks at Jesus. "Well, not me. I mean, I'm just still trying to crucify the flesh." Then you need to get saved. You were a sinner, and now you're not. The day you get saved, the moment, the minute, the second. You don't work for it after that. Contrary to what people may tell you, you don't work for it after that. That will fail you. 100%, it will fail you. It will wear you out, and it'll leave you with one thing, only one thing left to do. Find the church that you can be the most successful at following the rules. And guess what? Even then, you won't measure up. Isn't this a good Christmas message? Isn't this like just so peaceful and just, the Virgin Mary gave birth to such. No, this is, all right. A little bit further. Can we go a little bit further? I guess I can. I got the mic. Lindsay hadn't said stop yet, so wait till I'm not reading the scriptures. And Melissa, okay. It says, "And finally, we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ, and then our immaturity will end." Man, I'm praying for this to happen. You know why? Because it says, "And we will not be easily shaken by trouble." Now, we know it's not talking about heaven because we're talking about trouble and not being shaken by trouble. So it's talking about right here, right now. It says, "Or we won't be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies that sound like the truth only to pull us into their flock." Talking about other pastors pulling people into their flock with clever lies. Says, "But instead we will remain strong and always sincere in what? Our love, as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him." That's what the vision of this church is, to lead you deeper into him. "The anointed head of his body, the church. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one." That means it's going to require relationship with each other. "And every member has been given divine gifts." Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. "And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love." Because God is love. "So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding, deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of this spiritual apathy, they cut themselves off from their only true hope. They surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession. But this is not the way of the life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you really experienced the Anointed One, if you really experienced him, you didn't just hear a story about him. It says that, and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying, so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another in one body. And it goes on. And go back and read this. I'm going to come right back. Not this Sunday, because we will not be here, but the next Sunday I'm going to come right back to this. go and read Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4, and read Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2. I feel like there's a guaranteed stamp of this will blow your mind. Read it with a fresh set of eyes. Ephesians 3 and 4, Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2, and consider laying your life before Him. There's an inheritance. And it goes right into it in Colossians chapter 2. There's an inheritance that we're supposed to be walking in that we're not yet walking in as the church. We're still playing tradition and having services geared towards what we want. Well, I kind of like this music. You know, people vote on what kind of music we're going to have in the service, and all there's this nonsense. Well, I think we really need to invest in better chairs and all this stuff. Like, if we would mobilize, this nation would get turned around. Man, I feel like I need to go preach to some people that want to get fired up. Y'all ready? Let's stand and I'll pray and I'll let everybody go. I know kids are probably about to get feisty. I did end just ever so slightly earlier. I love to pray over people. And if you need prayer after I finish this one, come down front. Come to the carpet. And yeah, getting called to the carpet. Come down front and I'll pray over you. There's elders in the room that will find you and pray over you. And if some of them want to make their way up here while I pray, that would be great. But this journey with Him that we're on as a church, as a body, as a family, is about to get really, really good. I just want to encourage you with that. And if you don't have a church family, you are certainly welcome here. And there's this scripture that I say almost every week. Praise be to God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that's at work within you. If you feel something working in you, begin to lean into that, because it's what He has planned is way more than what you've had dreamed up, and it's most likely way more than what we're currently experiencing. I know for me it is. And I get excited. I get curious. It makes me chase after Him. It makes me want to behold Him in His glory and His goodness. So God, we thank You tonight that You're stirring a fire within us, God, that You, like the blacksmith, are fanning the coals that produce the flame that burns every impurity out of us, that leaves us in a place of extreme just hunger and just passion and zeal. It's like we're getting saved all over again. It's like what happened to us maybe long ago gets revitalized, and we even run past that and we run deeper into You. And every ministry of this church and ministry of people and what we're attached to, God, by other churches, God, I pray that it would draw us, that it would propel us, that it would even compel us to go deeper and deeper into union with Jesus, to begin to understand who we are, the access we have, all of the treasures that have been made available to us, that the very life of Yeshua is being released to us, God, as Your sons, as Your daughters, and everything is put together in Him. Everything is fit in Him. He's the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, and bringing us into the fullness of Your love, the full measure, God, not just some system, not just an agreement with something somebody else told us to believe, or a church program, or we've been baptized in this, God, none of that, but it's the fullness, the deity of God being made manifest in the earth through Your Son. And I thank You that You come and You immerse us in Your Spirit, God, that You lead us in paths of righteousness, and that You surround us like a shield. I bless these people, God, tonight. I thank You that they all have an incredible Christmas, God, that their family feels the peace, the love, the security and safety of knowing you. And there's just a thankfulness that rises up, God, beyond any kind of gift or present or anything that's going on, any family drama, God, that there's an ability to witness the Christ, the anointed one, that has rescued us from darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. And we just celebrate you tonight, God. We honor you. We thank you. Thank you that it was you hanging on that cross, reconciling the world back to yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody said amen. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray for you, and there's other people that would pray for you. And man, have a Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas. Love you guys.